Campus FM jippreżenta kolonne sonore. Vjaġġ fid-dinja mużikali tal-films.
Would you have me do, Susan?
I want you to become the protector of Rome after I die. I will empower you to one end alone. To give power back to the people of Rome and end the corruption that has crippled.
Nsalmilkom u għaldar buħra irġajna l-tqajna għal-edizzjoni tal-program Kolonne Sonore, silsila ta' programmi li qed inżel tajjeb ħafna magħkom is-semmija ta' dan l-istazzjon, għaliex mill-kummenti li rċevejna jidher li din is-sensiela ntoġbot ħafna. Għal dawk li forsi llum inaqdu magħna l-ewwel darba Kolonne Sonore kif jindika l-isem, jitratta soundtracks minn films. U allura hawnhekk il-lenti tagħna tmur fuq il-kompożitur tal-mużika ta' dawn il-films. Il-ġimgħa li għaddiet tkellimna dwar il-kompożitur Ġermaniż Hans Zimmer fejn kellna programm interessanti, però ovvjament meta qed nitkellmu dwar Hans Zimmer nofs hija programm mhuwiex biżejjed. Għal daqstant kif wiegħdkom il-ġimgħa li għaddiet se niddedika edizzjoni oħra lil dan il-kompożitur fil-programm tal-lum li nistgħu ngħidu se jkun kontinwazzjoni ta' dak li bdejna l-ġimgħa l-oħra. Fil-programm preċedenti semmejna ħafna films li fihom il-mużika ta' Hans Zimmer fosthom Gladiator, Thin Red Line, King Arthur, Pearl Harbor, Mission Impossible 2, The Last Samurai u oħrajn. Però Zimmer mhuwiex marbut biss ma' films hekk meqjusa għall adulti, għaliex kien ukoll il-kompożitur ta' films għall-udjenza xkejkna films bħal The Lion King u Madagascar, films ta' Walt Disney li kellhom popolarità kbira mhux ma' tfal biss imma saħansitra anke mal-adulti. Il-film tant ħelu Madagascar huwa wieħed minn dawn fejn iż-Zimmer għamel biċċa xogħol tajba ħafna fl-aspett mużikali ta' dan il-film.
Welcome to the Central Park Zoo.
Just smile and wave, boys. Today we're gonna blow this dump.
Here come the people, Marty. Oh, I love the people.
This is the life.
They had the best of everything.
It just doesn't get any better than this, you know?
Until they wanted a night on the town.
Let's go.
What?
Come on, we can be back by morning. The penguins are gone.
This place is crack-a-lackin'.
We've been ratted out, boys.
Good evening, officers.
Now, they're being sent way out of town.
Oh, great, this is just great.
This could be the best thing that's ever happened to us.
No, 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 no.
Hi, we just got in from New York.
Howie!
They're just a bunch of pansies.
Let's go and meet the pansies.
I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to move it.
What is he? Guinea pig? I think it's a squirrel.
Physically fit, physically fit, physically, physically, physically fit.
Could you excuse me for a moment?
What are you doing?
I'm swimming back to New York! Help!
Ben Stiller.
We just gotta ask these bozos where the people are.
How you doing? We're just trying to find out where the...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, now we're... Shh.
Chris Rock.
Yeah, you don't see that on Animal Planet.
David Schwimmer.
Nature! It's all over me! Get it off!
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Alex, don't!
Oy vey.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
From DreamWorks Animation.
Where are you giants from?
We're from New York.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
They're out of the zoo.
Navigation.
Without a clue.
Hmm?
Don't give me excuses! Give me results!
Madagascar.
Talk to him, Alex, you know. Go over there and give him a little pep talk.
Hi there. Oh, jeez.
U xi ngħidu għall-film Batman Begins, film ieħor li għandu l-mużika ta' Hans Zimmer li din id-darba ikkomponija flimkien ma' James Newton Howard. Ħanisimgħu din it-taħdita meħuda mill-arkivji ta' intervisti li saru lil Hans Zimmer.
Talk.
You know, joining us today is Hans Zimmer, extraordinaire composer of Batman Begins, co-composer, and has done terrific films. Did Madagascar, and of course, did Rain Man for me a number of years ago. Academy Award nominated.
And James Newton Howard, who of course is renowned for Collateral and The Village, among many other pictures. Plus, they're working together, right?
Yeah, that's pretty difficult. I know how it is to work with you, so imagine them working on the score.
It's inconceivable. And also joining us is the chief film critic of Variety, Todd McCarthy, who's written some really outstanding pieces about composing scores.
Great, let's have him come in. Doing a re-engineering of a major franchise, Batman. I produced the first two. And you had a score in that with Danny Elfman, which was certainly memorable for that film. We knew it when we previewed it. The first, you know, 3 minutes of the film, the credits were just music, and the audience was screaming. You look and say you're going to re-engineer this franchise. Isn't that an issue you had to look at when you took it on?
Well, funny enough, you know, that when I heard the word franchise, which of course I didn't hear from Chris Nolan, who was just telling me about this interesting movie he was making, but then somehow from the Warner's music department, they managed to use that word. And yeah, and I got scared about their kids not going to school anymore, me ruining the studio. And, you know, but you have to, ultimately what you have to do is you have to ignore this. You have to take it for what it is. And don't go and listen to the anything that's gone before. The job is to invent. They're paying you to invent. They're paying you to come up with something new. They're paying you to have a point of view.
Scoring a movie together. How was that process? How did it come about?
If you think about, in a lot of ways, what a film score does, it's really theme and variation to some extent. So, I mean, if we can decide on what the thematic material is, then doing the variations, having two people do the variations on the material, is actually quite a logical thing.
James and I have had this dastardly plan for years that we wanted to do something together. You know, it works in a band situation, you know, everybody gets to write, and it's the challenge, of course, is that I think James is really good, so I'm going to be trying to be as good as him, and,
I think it did have some overtones of a friendly rivalry, and as what you're always looking for, I think, are ways to restate the main ideas
going back to what you were saying before, though, I mean, Todd McCarthy and I have left screenings sometimes, and we'd say to each other, too much. This is too much music. It's wall-to-wall music, and it's telling the audience how to react. And frankly, I find it increasingly offensive these days. I mean, does this misrepresent?
No, I think that's the trend that I've seen over the last maybe couple of decades, that there tends to be, scores that are more aggressive, that are louder, that are more insistent, and maybe I feel that they're just sort of underlining what's already on the screen, as opposed to working with what's on the screen or creating interesting counterpoint melodies, different moods, and so on, that I think a lot of the great composers back in the studio days certainly did from the 30s through the 60s, actually.
I mean, I think it depends entirely off the movie you're working on.
Maybe it's because there are more of these kind of event-type pictures, you know, big pictures which are already loud to begin with, and maybe to when you lay in the score, you have to somehow compete even with the sounds that are already on the screen.
A director or a dubber can mix a score too loud, and everybody can consequently hate the score, when in fact, if it would have been mixed slightly differently, it could have been a whole different animal.
But it's your responsibility to be there at the dub, you know, and fight that fight and have that argument.
But ultimately, maybe it's the filmmaker, though, who's responsible for feeling that the audience is going to get it without being pounded on the head with extra music, extra emphasis of any kind, you know, that maybe there's a degree in which no one trusts something anymore.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes.
Sorry. No, you go ahead.
To the other point, you know, are we being more obvious? I don't know, you know, I mean, sometimes you have to be obvious because nobody seems to be getting the point, you know? I'm talking about the amount of music. I mean, I think there's no more, I think Thin Red Line probably has the most music of any movie that I ever worked on. But, you know, in a way, nobody was accusing us of too much. I mean, it was an interesting process of getting rid of dialogue and trying to do what music is really supposed to do. which is that thing you can't elegantly show in pictures or in words.
I find a very dangerous thing is when editors put a ton of temp music into the first cut, which really massages the edit process, and as opposed to some people who will really sort of reserve that until they have the opportunity to work with the composer for the first time and trust the material for a little bit longer until you... Because what it's like when you hear music up against picture for the first time, it's like an imprinting. The baby goose hatches and imprints on the whatever animal it first sees, and I think directors are kind of like that when they first see
their images. Most vivid example of that, I remember going back to The Graduate, when Mike Nichols decided just to put up Simon and Garfunkel. Of course, there's no way out of Simon and Garfunkel once you put that up as temporary music, and then they got stuck with making deal with them and trying to coax more music out of Paul. And, of course, ended up with the great accent of history, Mrs. Robinson, which didn't even belong to them.
I'm sorry, but that worked great. I don't believe that it was just Mike Nichols being completely random about this. The music, in a sort of oblique way, comments on the scene. I think it made it a much better film.
Are there ever directors who ask you to write something beforehand that will help set the tone before they even shoot anything?
Sure. Gladiator, the... Ridley was shooting the battle and I was writing the battle at the same time. I mean, we were really going hand in hand. That whole movie was... And his cutting rooms were at my studio, you know, which is really an ideal way of working. It's an extension of what we did with Barry Levinson. You know, I like being with the director. I like being able to just throw things up against the screen and seeing if it works or if it doesn't work.
Let me ask some vulgar questions.
I thought you were
vulgar.
I thought we already did vulgar.
I never. I don't start at vulgar. Money. Composers get a lot of money. What
Underpaid.
Makes a composer's what makes the pay day go up? Is it a hit? Do you have to come up with hits?
No, and because you have to chew hard to do it well. I mean, there are so many examples of rock. Of guys who and I have enormous respect for, who were tremendously successful.
Used to be a rock guy.
Well, I was a small rock guy. I played with a big rock guy, but you know, and they decide that they want to score a movie, and the director thinks, oh, that's a really great idea. I'll get the hippest guy in the room to score my movie, and the guy comes and scores the movie. And it's a total disaster. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a tremendously difficult thing to do. So I just don't think for a second that composers are overpaid, and I think that music. I don't think music can save a movie, but I think it can ruin a movie.
Is there pressure on you to align yourself with what could be hit movies because you know that's good for the career? And how do you do that?
Nobody doesn't like a hit, but we don't make... I certainly don't make choices.
Funny enough, I just thought about this over the weekend, coincidentally. And I thought, you know, why do I work with these directors that seem to have hit movies? And I thought, because they're good. And that's why they work again. And I really think there are only that many... You know, really, really talented people out there. In the world.
I agree, and you know, you look at people. There is much to admire about what they do, and you know, if I'm working with M. Night, who has been you know reviled by the press many, many times for maybe some appropriately and mostly inappropriately, but for me, those movies, there's so much. For me to enjoy working on. They're very quiet movies. They allow me to be very quiet musically. They're character-driven movies. There's not a lot of special effects. They're well-written. They're beautifully shot. Those are kinds of aspects that make the experience rich and enjoyable.
So you like working with the same directors often. You're developing a certain collaborative style. Is that a seduction for you as opposed to new and different filmmakers?
I think it's tremendously valuable in many ways because there's a shorthand and there's a trust that occurs, obviously, when you work with somebody more than once, and it's been successful, at least creatively, perhaps not commercially, or ideally both. I think one of the great motivators about working with the same director over and over is that director gets to really know your material in a way, and in a way sort of inspires you to be more creative, more inventive, because they've heard your stuff, they've heard your act, they know your tricks.
What do you do, though, if you see a picture of a director that you know well, and... The movie doesn't have it. It's inert. Do you tell them? Do you try to bring it to life? I'll be specific. Mumford, Larry Kasdan, is one of the most lifeless movies I ever made. How do you sit with Larry Kasdan and say, you made great movies, this sucks?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think it sucked. I think it was a really terrific, charming movie. I think it was a movie that, it was a very quiet movie. But Mumford was a very good example. You know, there may be issues in any film that one disagrees with in terms of what the director did in terms of cast and the way it's shot, but you're on board, and to some extent, you can't really be critical to the extent where some or the director feels betrayed. I mean, otherwise you may as well not even be on the movie. So you're really there to give it the best shot you can and just sort of be involved with it.
But isn't there a liability then to having like a relationship where you do film after film with the same filmmaker that you're then honor bound to do the ones that don't work and you only have to stay with them?
What I like about, you know, first of all, I like about working with Ridley Scott is that the movie, you know, Thelma and Louise is a very different tone from Gladiator, is a very different tone from Hannibal, which is a very different tone from Black Hawk Down, for instance. So, we get to do some twists and turns, etc. But I think the other thing is, you know, they are right at the beginning, and then they go off and shoot, and all sorts of stuff happens during the shoot where everybody forgets why they actually set out to make a movie in the first place. And I think one of my roles is to remind everybody, you know, why he loved the idea of that scene, why we wanted to do this, why we even wanted to do the movie. And I think ultimately I don't serve the director, I serve the film, and we all serve the film. And if that involves having a huge argument, I mean, I'm not even going to mention names right now, but I was working on one film and we just argued about one scene for a whole week. And, you know, I refused to write until we were sure about where we were going to go, and we just had an argument for a week. You know, and at one point I actually thought, hang on, if I was this guy, I would be firing me by now. But, you know, he understood that, you know, there was a problem with the scene, and there was a problem with tone, and we were just trying to find, in our crazy way, a way of solving this, of making it better. Nobody sets out to make a bad movie, I think.
U hemmhekk b'dik is-silta mill-film Batman Begins ngħaddu għal aktar informazzjoni dwar il-kompożitur tal-lum. Film ieħor li wkoll huwa parti mill-lista ta' Hans Zimmer huwa l-film Thunderbirds. Ħafna segwaċi ta' dawn il-films ta' Thunderbirds li jmorru lura għat meninijiet, ma tantx laqgħu tajjeb il-fatt li l-mużika tal-film Thunderbirds tal-2004 ingħatat lil Hans Zimmer. Il-kompożitur tal-mużika tal-films bikrin ta' Thunderbirds kien Barry Gray, u għal daqstant Zimmer għamel minn kollox biex jipproduċi siltiet tajbin jekk mhux aktar milli kien jikkomponi Barry. Il-marġ li kien kitab Barry Gray jindaq naqra aktar maġġel mill-verżjonijiet oriġinali, ma dana kollu il-grandjożità ta' Thunderbirds xorta tinħass. Hemm min isostni li l-mużika ta' dan il-film tixbaħ ħafna lil-dik ta' The Rock, film li semmejni ħftit tal-ġematilu meta iddedikajna il-programm lill-kompożitur Nick Glennie Smith. U fil-fatt ħanħallikom tisimgħu parti mit-trailer tal-film Thunderbirds fej lejla ħar ta' trailer ħatisimgħu stil ta' mużika li tixbaħ verament lil ta' The Rock u anki lil dik tal-film Gladiator.
In the year 2010, billionaire and former astronaut Jeff Tracy took his five sons to an uncharted tropical island, where they built the secret headquarters of International Rescue, an organization dedicated to helping those in need whenever disaster strikes. They have come to be known by the name they gave their incredible machines, Thunderbirds.
Now in my office, now.
They're so busted.
In a family of heroes.
Wish that was me.
Saving lives is a dangerous business.
Alan Tracy was always being left out.
Don't you have homework to do or something?
Until...
Fire.
Mayday! Mayday!
He was the last one left.
Who will rescue the rescuers?
I can do this. You know I can.
He's just a kid.
He's a Tracy.
Flight controls are green.
Main engine start.
Time to thunderize.
Now, he'll have to team up.
It's gonna be dangerous.
I'm in.
To take evil down.
I'm going on Thunderbird 4.
Alan, this equipment's only to be used in an emergency. I guess this qualifies.
Yeah.
This summer.
Kill them all.
Thunderbirds need you right now.
Get me as close as you can.
The Thunderbirds are coming to the rescue.
Hang on! Yeah!
Thunderbirds.
U bekk riġu għal tmiem edizzjoni oħra tal-programm Kolonne Sonore fejn illum iddedikajt programm ieħor lill-kompożitur Ġermaniż Hans Zimmer. Nisperaw li l-edizzjoni tal-lum oġbitkom u li tagħmlu appuntament tal-pallum ġimgħa fl-istess ħin għalhekk jiena ma baqali xejn ħlief li insalmilkom.
I want you to become the protector of Rome after I die. I will empower you to one end alone, to give power back to the people of Rome and end the corruption that has crippled.